This is The Bird Show.
All right, we need to get Kenny on here. Kenny needs our help, desperate to get his ex-girlfriend back, and only we can help him. Hey, Kenny, good morning.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
Okay, what's going on with you and the ex? Tell us about the breakup, how long, what got us to this point here?
So my ex-girlfriend, we've been broken up for about 6 months now. And the whole 6 months, I've just been trying to beg her to take me back. Like, I made a mistake. And right now, she's, like, on the brink of giving me a second chance. But I got a problem. Her friends don't like me at all. Like, at all. Like, they're like, never get back with this guy kind of, like, vibes right now. And it's not good.
Okay, what did you do?
What did you do?
I'm we in the hole, my boy.
I mean, there's got to be a reason why all of them aren't really digging you so much.
Yeah, no, I just wasn't a good boyfriend, to be straight up with you guys. I would, like, cancel plans and, like, do dumb stuff with my friends and, like, just spend too much time playing video games and, like, drinking and forget about important dates. And, like, I forgot about her birthday this year.
Oh, okay. It's real growth.
All right. Okay.
I just, like, undervalued and underappreciated her.
And how long ago did she break up with you, obviously, right? And how long ago was that?
That was about 6 months ago.
And you're a changed man in 6 months.
It woke me up. I'll say that.
So what have you done? Help us out, Kenny, here. What work have you done to get back in her good graces?
I'm just trying to be less selfish and, like, more mature, more emotionally mature. That's a big thing nowadays is emotional maturity.
It is, Kenny. Mm-hmm. It's not just nowadays. It's always been that way.
Everybody just wakes up at some point, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, like, I've done some serious reflection and I'm a lot more considerate now, even with, like, my family and my friends. Like, I'm just, you know, practicing just being more kind to them just and kind to myself. I want to show her that, like, I'm really willing to just be there for her, but, you know, her friends don't believe that. So that's really the issue, because obviously they talk all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I applaud you for making these changes and taking a look at your life and go, hey, you know, I really need to grow up, and here you are doing it. So is it a plea to your ex-girlfriend that we are making this morning? Is it to the friends? Is it to a specific friend? Who is it?
It's kind of both, but mostly to her friends. I made a presentation, a PowerPoint, if that's okay.
A PowerPoint?
A present?
Okay.
How I've changed and I'll do better this time and don't hate me and all that, you know, so.
Okay.
Okay, this is interesting. Okay, we're going to need a little bit of room for this to breathe, though, because we don't want to rush you through your audio.
We don't know how many slides he got.
Yeah, right.
Audio PowerPoint presentation.
Right. Okay, Kenny, hang with us for a couple of minutes. When we come back, you will make your PowerPoint presentation to the friends, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yes. To her friends, in hopes that you can win them over, they will go to the ex-girlfriend, everything turns out great.
Yes.
Okay, the PowerPoint presentation from Kenny, coming up next.
This is The Bird Show.
In the 20-something years I have done The Bird Show, I don't think we have ever had any kind of PowerPoint presentation to win a woman back. This is a first right here.
It
At least
is.
Dude's trying, man.
Yes.
I mean, when you mess up, admit that you mess up, make your changes, and you hope that the woman or the man that you lost is eager to listen to you.
And funnily enough, I think it's actually easier to get the ex back than it is to get your ex's friends back.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yes.
For
right?
sure. Yes.
Right. And of course, everything that went wrong in the relationship, she went and she told her girlfriends. And so now they hate Kenny.
Yeah.
No offense, Kenny, for just reason. But Kenny is a changed man.
Uh-huh.
And he's about to prove that with his presentation.
Same with my mom. Once I tell my mom that you did me wrong, she will hold that grudge till the day she dies.
That's loyalty right there, man. So Kenny called us a couple of minutes ago and he said, look, he messed up. He wasn't treating his woman with the respect and the attention that she deserved. That was 6 months ago that they broke up. All of her friends hate this dude. He thinks he is a changed man in the course of the last 6 months. So his idea was, hey, Bird Show, can I use your show for a PowerPoint presentation to her friends on the show, which hopefully gets back to her and everybody's happy. And we're like, all right, that's an idea. Let's go for it. All right, Kenny, you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. How are we breaking this down? Or should we just sit and listen to the whole presentation?
I don't know. Maybe just sit and listen to the magic.
Okay. Feeling confident, Kenny.
There better be a lot of power in this point.
All right, man. Let the magic begin. Go for it.
Okay. All right. So, why I deserve another chance. A heartfelt pitch to Emma's amazing friends.
This would be the first slide, I'm guessing. If we're in a big old conference room, the first slide that comes in.
I'll name each slide. Okay, so that was slide one. Slide two, introduction. Why I'm here. I know I messed up before. Big time. Emma is willing to give me a second chance if I have your blessing. I'm here to show you why you can trust me to do better this time. Your opinion means a lot to her, and I want to prove to you that I'm worthy of being back in her life.
Okay, that's slide two. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a quick question here about slide two, if I could. It says that Emma is willing to give me a second chance if I have your blessing. Has she told you that, or are you just assuming that?
More assumption, but I know her well. So.
Okay, good enough.
All right. On the second slide. Let him cook.
Okay.
We've spoken. It's not like we haven't spoken all 6 months. We've been talking.
Okay.
All right. Slide three, my friend.
Okay. Slide three. Owning my mistakes. Mm. Big one. Where I went wrong. Selfishness. I prioritize my own wants over her needs. No good. Flakiness. I canceled plans and made her feel unimportant. Also not good. Lack of appreciation, the biggest one. I didn't show her enough love or gratitude. What is wrong with me?
Good for you.
Accountability is key there, friend. Mm-hmm. You're doing good.
And you're not making any excuses, because a lot of guys would go, I didn't show her enough love or gratitude because. There is no because. You're owning it. Good for you.
Trying to, yeah. Okay, slide four. How I've changed. Steps I've taken to improve. Listening more. I've been working on active listening, not selective listening, so she feels heard.
All right. Mm.
Time management. I've gotten better at balancing priorities, meaning not video games and more, you know, dates and
her.
Stuff.
Yeah, more her.
Yeah. Showing appreciation. I've learned to express my feelings and gratitude openly. That meaning like I've always had gratitude, but I've never like expressed it. So now I'm getting better at expressing it.
Okay.
Therapy and reflection. I've been in therapy, yes. I've worked on understanding my flaws and how to fix them and, you know, holding myself accountable.
Hey, hold on one second here. This one is a biggie, right?
Huge.
Here. Okay, so these are not just words. These are actions. Mm-hmm. You have gone to therapy and you are doing the work. That is a major, major sign right there. Good for you, bro.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay. Slide five. My plan moving forward. Okay. How I will be a better boyfriend. Communication. Regularly checking in and being honest. You know, more texts. How are you doing? How's your day? This and that. More communication when I'm busy and this and that. Right. All that. Actions over words. Proving my commitment through consistent effort. More of the same.
Yep, I think the PowerPoint presentation would fall underneath that category.
Mm-hmm. Right, for sure. I would say so, yeah. Okay, supporting her dreams, because she is very ambitious, and I didn't really support her enough on that. So I'm always going to be her biggest cheerleader going forward.
Nice, okay.
And then respecting her circle, making sure that you all feel heard and valued too, not just Emma, but like all of you, because you're all great. Admittedly, you're all amazing.
I forgot that this was for the friends.
It is.
You know what I need to see on a PowerPoint? That every time we go out, you're going to buy my drinks as long as my friends. then you're in, my guy.
If that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Okay. Slide six. Why it matters. Why I'm fighting for this. Emma is the best thing that ever happened to me. I love her. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I'm in love with her, and I can't stop thinking about her. And I've learned the hard way how much she's worth, and I don't want to lose her again, and I don't want to take her for granted again. You know, like, you always realize what you had when you lose it, and I don't want that to happen again. You know, she deserves someone who's going to show up for her and be there for her and support her and take care of her and all that, and I am ready to be that person.
That's a good slide. Okay. That's a solid slide six right there, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. To her friends. The most important part. Why I need your support. I know you're protective of her and you care about her because you're friends and you've known her since high school and you love her, and that's great. And I respect that. And I want that to be the case. I'm not asking for instant forgiveness or anything like that. You know, I hope you'll give me a chance to prove that I've changed. I know this PowerPoint is one thing, but I want to show you. And, you know, your friendship means so much to her. And I want your trust, too. I want to earn it, because if I can't be the enemy in that circle, then it's not going to work. So I want to be friends with you guys, too.
Okay. Mm.
And closing, let's start fresh. I'm committed to being a better person and a better partner. And, you know, thank you for taking the time to hear me out. And slide 9 is just the word thank you. And, you know, your friendship with Emma means everything. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Wow. Rudy clap.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever Rudy clapped after a PowerPoint presentation?
We have
now. Might be the first.
And it's not authentic because one of the slides didn't go out, and then you have to readjust it and everything, because that always
happens. Or moves
ahead
too fast.
Yeah. Come ahead too soon.
Look, my dude, I mean, when I first heard this idea, I thought, okay, this is going to be so bad, so cheesy, that is never going to work. But
it was
It was not only sweet, it's adorable, it's sweet, and also you're not only saying the right thing, I feel like you really feel it and understand it, that these aren't words.
Yeah, I do. You know, Emma means a lot to me, so.
It feels genuine to me.
Yeah.
I think I mean, it's tough to get the friends over, but I think you did the best you could do.
All right. Abby, if you were in her friend group, would you take Kenny back?
I would say you need a couple of well-placed GIFs, memes, and TikToks, but if you get me to giggle, I'll bring you back into the friend group.
All right, okay. So how does this work now? Do the friends listen to The Burt Show and you know this as fact? I mean, so what is our follow-up here?
I've been in the room where, like, you guys have been playing, and, like, they seem to know about you guys pretty well. So I'm assuming they listen regularly.
Okay.
Well, bottom line, we're going to go ahead, because we post all of our segments up on our podcast. So we'll give you a link to your podcast segment. And if you want to send it to them, that can be another way to make sure they hear your public PowerPoint presentation.
Well done, Kenny. You sound very authentic, man. Well done.
Yes,
well
sir.
Well done.
Good luck, my dude.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Real funny.
This man's real life story is straight out of a movie. Is it coincidence? Is it karma? Or is it just the ultimate plot twist? It's interesting, though, because I've never been married, but I do assume that people who have been married, even sometime when you get a divorce, you still shared a point of your life with someone who obviously meant the world to you. And it forces me to wonder that if you just happen to find yourself in a situation where you get a divorce, because they say timing is everything, and right after you get this divorce, you just happen to hit a $273 million jackpot. And if you were in this guy's situation, would you consider reaching out to your ex?
She's the just-divorced wife whose ex-husband won $273 million in the lottery. Mike Mirsky never had a steady job in their 15-year marriage. And when they divorced 5 months ago, she was ordered to pay him alimony. Now, at age 53, this regular Joe is mega rich. She doesn't want a penny of his winnings.
Your ex-husband won over $270 million. You were the breadwinner when you were married. You think you're entitled to any of that?
The only thing that I would like to see is, obviously, termination of spousal support.
Eileen says the lottery jackpot doesn't change the way she feels about Mike. The marriage did not end on a happy note.
Now that you have money, it doesn't mean that I would want to come back.
Great. Mike reacted this way.
$270 million does not make me appealing to her. That's what she said in the New York Post interview.
And do you believe her?
I don't care.
She's better than me, because I would be crawling back to his doorstep.
So I got this story from Internet Hall of Fame on X, and it kind of gave me two questions, right? Like, if you're the woman in this situation, how do you feel? And if you're him in this situation, how do you feel?
Well, I don't think the money, the fact that he won $270 billion is going to make her want to go back to this guy. I don't even think that's the question at all.
I literally heard him utter one sentence, and I don't want to go back to him.
Good for her for having that kind of integrity, saying, look, even though he won all that money, I don't want one penny. If I'm him, I am offering her some kind of settlement, because I mean, she covered everything while they were married. Now he's got $270 million. I am making that offer to her. If she don't want to take it, part of me is pretty happy about that. But I would at least make some kind of offer, yes.
He is not going to make any offer. And I would be like her. I'd be like, all right, now that your income has changed, let's take our divorce settlement back to the courts, and I no longer owe you any type of alimony.
Sure. It would be so petty of him not to cancel the alimony. I mean, especially since they say he didn't work for 15 years. That, to me, feels like, if I'm the guy in that position, I'm with you, Bert. I would offer her some kind of package, just off of the fact that I didn't work for 15 years while we were married alone.
I want more details. Why? Why couldn't he work for 15 years?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, if I'm him, like, I'm not taking any more of her money. And honestly, I feel like any good person with a conscience would throw her a good million and call it a day. Wipe that off my mind. Know that I've done my part in terms of apologizing for not working for 15 years and being dependent on her.
She doesn't want it, though.
Well, I mean,
if I'm making the offer and she says no, I'm not asking twice.
She says she doesn't want the money. I feel like that's her pride talking. I feel like 6 months down the line, she's going to be like, maybe I should have rethought that.
Too late.
There's a one-time offer.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, close your eyes and picture one of your exes in your head. You break up. You won the lottery. $273 million. How much of that money are you giving them?
Well, I've matured now, so I'd send her at least $25.
Abby?
$0.
Bert?
Zero.
Yeah, I'm not giving my ex any money either.
No.
That's not happening.
Not happening.
He's not giving her a dime.
Look, if God wanted you to be rich, you'd hit the lotto.
That's a very good point, man. That's a very good point. All right, Kristen has been looking at Abby, listening to Abby. She's coming to the table with real hard strategy on dating when it comes for Abby.
I have an idea, Abby, for a dating segment, all right?
Mm.
And this is not me trying to get some kind of matchmaking redemption. We all know I suck at it. This is not about me, all right? Mm. This is about you and other women lifting you up to find your perfect match.
But just that you're behind this suggestion gives it bad mojo.
No.
You should have given this to Cassie or Mo or so, or me, who has a 100% matchmaking statistical win sheet.
You want me to come over and whisper into your ear and you just repeat what I say so now it becomes your idea?
No, I'm too lazy for that. Okay. What do you got?
All right. I could use a puppet.
Yes. Can I shove my... Never mind. All right, so... please don't. All right, so here's my idea.
Okay.
Because I feel like we've talked about the dating woes and the dating apps. I feel like some of these men need to come with references.
Mm.
So what if we did a segment where only sisters could nominate their brothers to date you?
Ooh, like pitch a sibling?
Pitch your brother to Abby. So it has to be your brother. And I feel like four siblings, because you have a brother and I have a brother, right? Uh-huh. I feel like any sister out there would never like pitch her brother if she didn't actually think he was a good match.
I agree.
So for instance, I adore my brother and I think he's a fantastic spouse and I think he's a fantastic match. So I 1000% in our younger days would have... and pitched my brother to date you, okay?
And for me, for my brother, when he got a girlfriend, I looked at her and I was like, are you sure you want to date him?
There's two types of siblings out there. So I feel like the 20-somethings listening, the 20-something women listening who have brothers.
Or 30-something.
Or 30-somethings, young 30-somethings listening. So if you are between the age of, we're going to go ahead and do the parameters, 25 and...
I feel like 25 and 34.
All right, 25 and 34. If you have a brother between the age of 25 and 34 that you think would be a stellar match for Abby, I want you to email me, Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, @thebertshow.com. I will filter through these and see if we get anything good. Because I feel like they need that letter of recommendation or that email of recommendation. And I feel like a sister is very discerning. And if we're getting a recommendation for a sister, you're getting a solid rec.
Now, I feel like now that you put this out there, a lot of people are going to message you and be like, well, he's not my brother, but I like that.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Like, are there any exceptions or do they have to be your brother?
They have to be your brother.
Step brother count.
You gotta know somebody gonna try to find a loophole.
You know they are.
Don't chew with the loopholes. No.
How about if you lived under the same roof, stepbrother, but you lived under the same roof?
No.
No? Has to be blood.
Yeah.
100% blood.
What if you grew up together? Like, you know, your parents got divorced young and you have grown up with this person for the last 20 years.
No.
Like you're eliminating a lot of good guys.
Yeah. I know. Come on, Kristen. I'm desperate.
If you grew up with them.
Have you heard me recently?
Abby, if they were neighbors, it's fine.
Groceries, that's cool. That denominator.
For Abby here, I think the larger the net, the better.
Yeah, come on. Kristen, I have never been more undateable in my life. Let's catch a large, large net.
Lord have mercy. All right.
I don't think that's true. How about before you got the nose job?
That's heinous. All right. Your brother, your stepbrother, if you grew up with them, that's fine.
What about cousins?
If a cousin was under the same roof as you and grew up with you, that is fine. You had to share a household with this person, okay? Is that good?
I think that covers it.
What are you getting frustrated? We're just christening your bit. This is what you do with our bits. We're just doing it to you now.
Well, I don't like it, and I won't do it anymore. But bottom line, Abby, are you game for this? Like, I don't want to call it an experiment because it's not an experiment, but I feel like having a solid female recommendation maybe could weed out some of these losers.
Listen, I'm going to be single today. I'm going to be single tomorrow. I'm going to be single after this bit. I have no qualms with going with it.
All right, okay. So you can email Kristen at kristen@thebertshow.com.
Correct.
Has to be a brother or a cousin. Somebody that you lived under the same roof with for how long?
I'm not putting...
Your entire life.
10 years. You got to send a picture too, man. Don't be sitting here, oh, he's cute. He's... Rah, rah, rah. No, I need a picture.
No uggos.
No uggos. Bye.
All right, kristen@thebertshow.com.
The Bert Show.
Oh, the double whammy of dating. Dating the boss, okay, that's questionable, right? Puts you at risk, maybe. But dating the boss who's married with kids, is it time to end the relationship is her question.
Hey, Bert Show. I've reached out to you before and you were extremely helpful in giving me advice about 2 years ago, and I'm hoping you are able to do it again. It's the tale as old as time. I'm 24 years old and I have found myself in love with my boss.
Uh-oh.
A 36-year-old man who I will refer to as Chad, who is married with kids. I know it's okay to hate me.
I don't hate you.
I hate me.
Don't hate yourself.
I've been cheated on in every single relationship I've ever been in, and never in a million years did I ever think that I would be that woman. Here's how it happened. Within the last year, I escaped my abusive ex-husband, who is now behind bars, but when everything went down, Chad was the one who came to my rescue in a platonic way, truly just trying to be helpful as I have no family in the area. The first time I ever saw him outside the professional area, I didn't want to say love at first sight because it's cheesy, but it was almost like we had known each other our whole lives. We got closer and closer extremely quickly, telling each other we love each other within the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
We talk about our life together, what it will look like, how he wants to be the strong male figure in my son's life, etc., and be the man who shows me that I deserve to be loved. I truly cannot tell you one bad thing about him.
Minus.
I was waiting for somebody to say it.
That he's married with kids.
And he's sleeping with another woman.
Right.
He shows up, gives me flowers randomly, brings me little snacks he knows I love without me asking. He'll call me in the middle of the day just to hear my voice and always puts my needs above his own. And his wife.
Okay. Tough love. You want tough love. Here we go.
I truly didn't know men like this existed. The problem is he's married with kids. He expresses to me that while his wife is a great mother, she's a horrible partner, and he was only staying in it for the kids who are teenagers now. But even if she isn't a good partner, if she ever found out about us, I would feel so horrible because I know exactly what that feels like. His words, I have shown him that he is deserving of feeling loved and appreciated and not just seen as the man who gets S done. He tells me he wants to pay off his debt and set things up the right way for him to file for divorce so me and him can have a good life together and have it not start out in turmoil. Personally, I think that is an oxymoron. How can we expect to have a good life together if we truly do love each other like we say we do if it starts this way being deceitful? Especially being that we still work together and we are definitely not allowed to fraternize with management. However, I do believe that we truly do love each other and that this could be the hallmark story and that our souls are entangled somehow.
Hallmark is not picking up the story. Maybe Lifetime.
TLC. So I'm asking, what do you think I should do? Should I give him the ultimatum? I don't know how to express this to him without him feeling attacked or as if he's a bad person. Or I don't want to be with him. A large part of me wants to tell him that I will be here when he finally gets a divorce, but I can't continue with the sneaking around anymore. I'm not sure what to do. I've been deprived of love and happiness my entire life, and I finally have it and don't know how to keep it. Please help me. Sincerely, Desperate Mistress.
This one's really pretty easy, but do you have the guts to do it? You just got to walk away. Mm-hmm. Look, this dude is telling you everything. He's got it all. He's got it all right now. He's got the wife. He's got the kids. He doesn't really have to hang out with you at work. He's got it all. This is easy. Text you every now and then. You're the the shoulder to lean, or he's the shoulder to lean on.
There probably has been some shower time if that's where you're going. Okay. Hey.
Physically, I'm guessing he's satisfied in this area with your 24-year-old self also. So he's got it all. I don't know him. I don't know if he's manipulating or not. I don't know if him being there as a friend while you were going through a tough time was part of a plan. I don't know him. All I know is, and I'm invested in you and not him, is let him prove to you everything he's saying. Mm-hmm. Walk away. That's it. Very difficult. I know it feels good when you're with them, although not that great. Based on what you're saying here in the email, it's chewing you up. The only way that you really can get to the truth here is by walking away. It's not an ultimatum. It's not leave your life, your wife, or I'm gone. It's leaving.
Yeah, my heart really breaks for you here because it feels like you are experiencing the thing that everybody wants, which is that great love, that Hallmark story. And I think from the outside, because we're not blinded by all those emotions, we can see the red flags. To me, honestly, this sounds a lot like love bombing. Like he's telling you 2 weeks into the relationship that you guys are in love and that he can really see a future with you. And he's doing all of these things to really lay it on thick that this relationship is so different than all the other ones. But the reality is he has shown you that he doesn't have the kind of integrity to do things the right way to honor your relationship. If he really did honor you with, if he really did honor your feelings and what you deserve in a relationship, he would go through the necessary steps to get out of this marriage that he says is not right for him and that is not benefiting his life. So I think you really need to see it for what it is, and that it's this guy is taking advantage of the power dynamic of the age and the whole work situation, and also the fact that he has more life experience from you, more life experience than you. So if I was you, I would walk away, but I also know that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is simple. Sometimes the right thing to do is the hard thing to do, and it's a simple solution, but it's hard to put the action behind it. You have to walk away. There's no other way to see this. I mean, for you to say that he was helping you platonically, I don't even know if that was a thing. He probably had this as the end game the entire time. And when you take your lenses off and you say you've been cheated on with every guy you've been with, the reality is this guy is no different than the guys that cheated on him. Mm-hmm. He's doing the same things, and you should see him in the same light. And he's never going to leave his wife. That they always say that. I don't believe that until I see that. No ultimatum is needed. He's not going anywhere. You're just wasting your time. You have to do the hard thing and walk away.
I think we always expect doing the right thing feels good, but that's not the case. Like, most of the time, doing the right thing is the hardest thing and the thing that hurts the most. Mm-hmm. And so, but we do, we want to believe, hey, if I'm doing the right thing, then I'm going to feel good about this. And I'm going to feel positive about this. And this, and that's just not the case. And it's going to be a broken record. Doing the right thing here is you need to walk away from this, and you need to take care of yourself, and you need to let him sort his ass.
You have to have enough self-value and self-worth to say to yourself, I'm not going to be number two. And based on everything in this email, you don't have that. So it is time to start building that. And the only thing to do is walk away. That's it.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Run.
Get out.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Justin Bieber is apparently on a big unfollowing spree because we've seen this happen with two people that were really important with his career already. He unfollowed Scooter Braun, which was the guy that discovered him and then I believe was his manager for all of his career. And then he unfollowed Usher pretty recently, who was his musical mentor and somebody who really guided him through the early days of his career. And yesterday, news broke that his Instagram account unfollowed his wife, Hailey Bieber. This actually happened literally during the 9 o'clock hour last time. And I was like, or yesterday, and I was like, should I need to say that there's an emergency e-buzz or not? And then very quickly, people were calling him out. And then he posted an Instagram story that he would later delete, saying that some crazy S is going down and somebody hacked his account and actually unfollowed his wife.
Okay, real quick hard pivot here. How do people know when you unfollow somebody?
there's software.
That quickly.
So like TMZ, I think, was the one to break the story. And they have like software or accounts or whatever to monitor this kind of stuff. So when they see that somebody like Justin Bieber, who only follows 800 people, unfollows one person, they'll get an alert that it's somebody.
Ooh, Bert, check and see if he still follows us.
He still follows you, because I was checking his followers this morning. Because I was like, I just want to see if he was trying to sneak one over. So he still follows Hailey Bieber as of this morning. But what I thought was interesting was when this news broke yesterday, I actually got on Instagram and searched through Hailey's following list. And I, at the time, didn't see Justin Bieber in the list. But as of this morning, she does follow Justin Bieber.
Purely speculative. And I think maybe I said this off the air, and I'm going to try to handle it sensitively on the air. Purely speculation. When you see who he's unfollowing outside of Hailey, who obviously that was a mistake. I think that maybe, Justin, when you have your own kid, you do tend to take a look at the world very, very differently. And I'm wondering if he's not going back through his life now and saying, when I was so young and I was so eager to work my way up and be around all these powerful people, I didn't know any better. And the adults that were in my life should have protected me better. He has that perspective now. And I'm wondering if he's looking back going, were they really friends? And maybe that's why he's unfollowing them. And that's just speculation.
Yeah, it's tough. And for the Hailey Bieber thing, they're apparently in Aspen together. So maybe that was a mistake. Or maybe, and sometimes I wonder if celebs do this, where they're like, let's just like screw with the press. Like, what if we just unfollowed each other for a little bit, just caused a little chaos, and then said it was a mistake?
That's what it feels like to me. Like they need some chatter for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't believe Justin. I believe him. But if I were a celebrity and had an emotional moment and unfollowed my wife, this is exactly what I would say happened if I did do it. Yeah. I would certainly say I was hacked.
And if somebody's going to hack Justin Bieber's Instagram, the only thing they're going to do is unfollow Hailey Bieber. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing. They're not going to post anything.
If you get the Ferrari for a night, you're supposed to turn it up.
You're seeing how fast this baby can go. Yeah, you're running that thing into the ground.
All right, Chappell Roan recently did an interview with the BBC where a lot of people are saying she vocalized something that they believe a lot of famous people haven't really been able to put into words until now.
A lot of people think, like, fame is the pinnacle of success because that's all you could ever want. What is there else? Like, what more could you possibly want than adoration by the whole world? And like, the whole like adoration part is so addictive and so not talked about. I understand like why this feeling, why I'm so scared to lose it, because like, it's so scary to think that one day people will not care about you the same way as they do right now. Like, that is so scary. And I think lives in women's brains a lot different than men's. But my relationship to that success is what I was not prepared for. What I was like prepared for was like doing bigger rooms, wearing crazy stuff, doing shows under higher pressure, working with a bigger team, paying my team more because I have like new financial freedom. Like, there is that. But I did not expect the abuse of the machine and the internet and people in real life.
Yeah, I've said this a million times. I don't know who would sign up for this kind of superstardom. I mean, you think it's going to be fantastic. And when you look at it, it sounds miserable to me that you can't go anywhere. Every single sentence that you say is interpreted. You have no privacy whatsoever. It sounds like a terrible life.
Yeah, well, I think her relationship to fame is interesting in the way she described it as addictive, like a drug. Mm-hmm. Because I do wonder, how do you go to a normal life after selling out stadiums or selling out arenas? How do you go just back to your normal life when you've experienced just how good it can feel to have millions of people say that they love you? And I think she put it into words really beautifully. For more stories, head to the Bert Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Bert Show.
Cassie needs an AI translator for the universe. She doesn't know what the universe is telling her anymore.
That's a great way to put it, actually. So
I've not really always been a woo-woo person. I've been very black and white, like things are rooted in science and fact, and that's it.
This is the way you were brought up, right? Your dad's a doctor, right?
Mom's a nurse. Uh-huh. My sister even went into public health. She's about to become a doctor. And I was an English major. Like, who stuck out? But the older I get and the more that has happened to me, I've just started to realize there's more of a gray area. And it started when I used to have like visceral reactions to stuff. You know, you're wrong, I'm right. And then I would experience what the other person went through. And I'm like, oh, there's so much more here that I never knew. And that sort of snowballed throughout my life. So now when I look at things, if I have a visceral, like, I'm right reaction, I'm like, what am I missing about this situation that's going on that would give me a different perspective? And especially with my mom's, you know, looming terminal diagnosis, she has stage 4 cancer. I've just been thinking a lot, and this is going to sound boring, but about like, life and death and philosophy and existentialism. What are we here for? Blah, blah, blah. Is there life after death? All of that stuff, right? And I just feel like the universe has been giving me crazy signs. And again, that's not something I would generally believe in because I think you can find them wherever. I think, Bert, you mentioned that the other day. You can take whatever you want as a sign, you know, or affirmation that you're on the right track. But it just feels like the universe is slapping me in the face with stuff. So, like, I went to my husband's Kindle library the other day, opened 3 random books, unrelated, different genres, different authors. First one's character's name was Cassie. The second one, the character's name was Dr. Young, which is my dad and soon-to-be sister here in a couple months. And the third one was like an old friend of mine who used to play a pivotal role in my life. And it was just jarring to see. And I'm like, okay, 3 for 3. That's weird. It was 3 in a row, by the way. It wasn't like 3 out of 7. 3 in a row. And then I'm driving down the highway last night and I see a billboard and I know there is an Atlanta Braves baseball player named Cy Young, C.Y. Young, but he has a bobblehead out now. And so it's C.Y. Young right in front of me on a huge screen as I'm driving the only billboard down the highway. It is by the Battery in the Braves Stadium, but still I'm like, whoa, that is my initial C.Y. and then Young. And so I'm like, what is happening? I found out a person I knew who has my sister's name. Her mother's name is Angela, which is my mom's name. Just so many coincidences in such a short amount of time. I'm like, the universe is trying to tell me something.
Just for one clarity, for just one thing, the Braves don't have a player named Cy Young.
Oh, who's Cy Young?
They had a player that might have won the Cy Young, but they don't have a player named.
Oh, is
named
it an award?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, thank you.
So the universe is that, you want to take that one right off the list, right?
No, it's still my name because it was still on the billboard. Okay. I don't care where it came from. By the way, congratulations to whoever won it because I see that name associated with the Braves a lot. So y'all are doing good. Yay. Do the thing, win the points. Anyway, so I've been talking about getting this tattoo and a week or two ago I came on and said I might have gotten a sign from TikTok of all places about a phoenix tattoo I've been thinking about getting. I hadn't talked to anyone about it. I hadn't emailed, searched it, nothing, just in my head. And the first thing I see on TikTok when I open it is a line drawing, a small fine line tattoo drawing of a phoenix. Mm-hmm. Exactly what I would want. I open Instagram, the word phoenix appears. And so then my mom calls me out of the blue. She's like, I love the idea of a phoenix tattoo. That sounds great. I mean, she saw the segment, mm-hmm. but she hates tattoos. And she's like, it makes my heart sing. I think you should get it. So I'm like, okay, great. Everything's pointing me towards this. But I'm still nervous because I'm a Libra and we can't make decisions to save our lives. And then I talk to my husband who has a lot of tattoos and we decide I want to get my tattoo from Bang Bang in New York. It is a very famous tattoo studio. They do all the celebrities. The best some of the best tattoo artists in the world work at Bang Bang. So
like a year-long wait list or something like that?
Some of them are, yeah. But they did just do a new hire, and I happen to like her work a lot. So I'm like, I bet I could get in faster with the new hire. But when am I going to go to New York? I'm like, now we're talking a trip to New York. That's a whole ordeal. I don't want to bring the kids up there for this. Do I want my husband with me?
You have a baby in a tattoo parlor.
Exactly. And so I'm like, maybe this is unrealistic. And then in my lap drops a trip to New York for business. Our business manager hit me up. And it's like, hey, we're going to need to go to New York at the end of the month for a business trip. You know, cool. Get it on the calendar. I'm like, yeah, sounds great. And I'm like, oh, my God. And when we're done with meetings all day in the off time, I could go to Bang Bang if they have an appointment and get my tattoo. And it just feels like everything is falling into place. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for someone to tell me I'm stupid.
Have you reached out and seen to see if they have an opening?
I'm nervous because I feel like if I take, this is bad, if I feel like I take any action, it's going to unravel everything. I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm going to ruin my own destiny if I have a hand in it, which is stupid. The dumbest thing I've ever said. But I'm still on the fence. Like, am I making this up? Should I go forward with this? Is this a right move? Or is the universe trying to push me towards something bigger? And I'm just like, it's a tattoo. But it's really like, no, there's a bigger thing here. We need you to focus on.
Oh, you feel like there's a bigger lesson than just getting a tattoo?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know what it is.
I think it's like analysis of paralysis. And this is also
coming. You are
coming,
the queen of that.
Yeah. But this is also coming from a guy that is just super spontaneous. And once I get it stuck in my head, that's it. Decision is done. And I just move forward. And that has burned me in the past for sure. But I mean, how big a tattoo are you talking about here?
Not big, like a couple of inches on my forearm. It's just my first one and it's permanent. And so I take that super seriously, not to say other people with tattoos don't. It's just different for me.
Yeah, you walking passport.
I love tattoos. I'm just very nervous. But yeah, you're right. Analysis to paralysis is one of my problems. And
I mean, was it really going to change anything if you get it done? I mean, what's going to happen if you get it done?
What if I hate it? What if I'm not a phoenix? What if I'm just a bunch of ashes and I never rise to my place?
I mean, is there some halfway point here rather than doing something so ambitious on your wrist that you could put it somewhere else?
What about a tramp stamp?
If you do, yeah.
A phoenix tramp stamp. Yeah.
I feel like that's telling people I have an STD. Like, it's on fire down there.
I don't know. I don't know how this overthinking works. I mean, I'll go to Mo on this one.
Yeah, overthinking is tough. At times like this, honestly, I just lean towards, if I feel like I'm getting signs, whatever the majority of the signs are telling me to do, I just do it. I put it in my head that I'm going to do it, and then I will not allow myself to outthink myself.
When I start going and overthinking, I always default back to my original idea. Like, there must have been a reason why I did it. Now I'm just overthinking, and then I go for it.
Reach out to the tattoo place. If they have an opening, you're meant to get it.
Oh.
If they don't, you're not.
Why don't you call them right now? And when we come back, we will see if you are getting this done or not.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Our tattoo place is open this early?
I don't know.
The Burt Show.
It's her friend's birthday, but should she spend money on the gift?
Well, it's not necessarily a gift. It's more of a gripe having to do with a certain type of person around their birthday. And I feel like we all at least have one of these people in our lives. And it's that person who is the birthday princess, I call them. The birthday month princess, where the second it hits March or May or June or July or whatever freaking month they were born in, from the 1st to the 31st, if there's enough time, sometimes the 30th, the 28th, if it's February, it is birthday time. And a friend of mine is wondering if she's being a little bit of a bee because she's pushing back on something that is being asked of her for her friend's birthday this year. So my friend has been friends with her friend for probably a good 10 years. It's been a long time. This is a long time friend. I would say maybe not a tier one bestie, but like whatever right below is, like a B plus A minus list friend. They've been friends for forever. They've always been there for each other, but wouldn't consider this a best friend. So her friend, the one that is having the birthday, her boyfriend is planning a birthday party for this milestone birthday. She's turning 30, the dirty 30. He wants to make sure that she feels really special for this milestone birthday.
I love this for her.
And so the boyfriend is having the friend who is turning 30's actual best friend plan a party for the birthday girl. And so the best friend is getting all the other little minions together, all the other little B plus A minus list friends together to help throw this birthday party for the friend. So the best friend that is planning this party comes to everybody in a group chat and is like, hey, I really want to plan where, you know, I've been tasked to plan this party for our mutual friend. I really want to make this special for her. 30 is a big deal. It's a
really
big
quick
deal for women.
Why isn't he doing it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think he's a part of it, but I think he wants the best friend to take charge because, you know, women and they plan parties and stuff. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't know this man.
And maybe he knows his weaknesses and his strong suits and party planning is a weakness.
That's what I was thinking. He probably knows she'll do a better job.
Yeah. I think he's helping, but I think he wants her to like head it.
Okay.
So the best friend comes to everyone and says, hey, I really need a little bit of assistance. We're all obviously busy busy adult, so I'm going to need some help, especially in the money department, because, you know, it's going to be a little expensive to throw this thing for our girl, but I know we all care about her, so can we all, you know, take on one different thing? So can Savannah, can you do the balloon arch, and Tracy, can you do the charcuterie board, and basically splitting it up? And my friend is like, I have bought so many gifts over the last year for other people's baby showers and weddings that, like, another $400 purchase for a balloon arch is just really pushing it at this point.
Oh, I got some Amazon links that'll do way better than that.
So my friend ends up pushing back and saying, hey, like, this is a lot for me. Can we lower the budget? Can I, you know, contribute to something else? And she said she was kind of getting a little flack from everybody else saying, like, well, we're contributing this and we're contributing this. Like, can you do $350? Can you do $300? And she's getting really fed up at this point where she's like, you know, this person means a lot to me, but, like, throwing another couple of hundred at somebody for their 30th birthday is just really feeling like a lot.
That is a lot of money.
So she's like, should I just back out completely? Like, if they're kind of like all or nothing, should I just back out of this group chat? And am I going to look like a bad friend if I end up saying I don't want to be a part of it anymore?
I hate that they're putting her in that position, because it doesn't matter what you have isn't what somebody else has. Like, everybody's budgets are different. And to expect somebody to shell out the same amount as you, I think is an unrealistic expectation. And it's unfair to that person. And just because they don't want to shell out that much money doesn't mean they don't love the person any less. Maybe they just don't have that kind of cash rolling in their bank account. So I think she hits them back and be like, y'all, I've crunched, like, you know, I do a budget. This is what I have. Like, let me know how, I mean, this is how I can help, you know, how I can help, and I want to participate, but I mean, this is all I have.
Guys, you got to feel really grateful that you guys are dudes. Yes. Because I got to say, for women, I constantly feel cornered into a lot of birthday things, like in terms of like having to go on trips or buying like a certain amount of things for the party. It is tough because it's like, I love you, but my wallet doesn't.
Yeah. If you don't have it, you don't have it. I don't think that makes you a bad friend. I mean, I would try to help any way I could, but if you don't have it, you don't have it.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.